Hi, my name is Ben Armstrong.
Hi, this is David Koch.
My name is Thomas Maurer.
Hi, I'm Donna Sarkar.
Hi, my name is Lana Montgomery.
Hi, I'm Seth Warres.
Hi, I'm Aaron Thomas.
I'm Jess Dodson.
Hi, I'm Rocky Heckman.
Hi, I'm Sonia Cuff.
Hi, I'm Troy Hunt.
Hello, this is Wally Mead.
My name is Reid Purvis.
Hi, I'm Lars Flynn.
Hi, my name is Alan Birchall.
Hi, I'm Scott Guthrie, and you're listening to the Need to Know podcast.
Two of Australia's leading MVPs, presenters, bloggers, and all-round Microsoft tech nerds. Robert Crane. He's an Office 365 MVP and the director of CIA Ops. Mark Keane. He's a Microsoft Azure MVP and an Azure / PowerShell Premier Field Engineer working at Microsoft. All the latest Microsoft Cloud news, as well as industry guest deep dive conversations. It's the Need to Know podcast, all thanks to Rode Microphones. Catch us on Twitter and Facebook, N2K Podcast, and online at podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast. My name is Robert Crane, and I'm joined by my faithful companion, EIO Mark Keane. Welcome, Mark.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
Not too bad. What's happening in your world? Keeping busy?
As always, just flat out like a lizard drinking.
Ah, do lizards actually drink, do they? There you go. Learned something already today.
What about you? What's happening in your world?
Lots of things to catch up with. I'm working through updating my online trainings to incorporate the new interfaces that Microsoft has brought about in SharePoint Online, OneDrive, and so on. The functionality obviously is pretty much the same, but the interface has changed enough that it's now time to go and update all that material for my online courses. So that's going to keep me busy for quite a while, I think, making sure, and hopefully Microsoft will at least hold the interface changes up for a little while. But I'm not too hopeful, given that Ignite is not far away, is it now?
No. So tell me about this interface thing. How does the interface thing? You're not a developer, so how does this affect you?
Because what happens is Microsoft, for example, has an interface with SharePoint Online. The look and the feel and the buttons to download change, or they move to one side of the screen, or some of the options change. So, like I said, you need to update your training material to reflect the changes in the way the product looks that Microsoft has pushed out to us. So, for example, one of the big common things that has changed is the way that you share files in SharePoint Online and OneDrive for Business. So, again, it was a very, I suppose, simplistic interface dialogue that appeared previously, but now they've got a nice little drop down from the menu across the top, which is much nicer, much easier to use, and therefore I need to update my documentation to reflect that. So
gotcha.
That's what's involved with it.
Well, that's what you get for being a Microsoft person.
Now, it's interesting because when you look at the Microsoft articles online, there's not many screenshots anymore, and this is the exact reason, is because the interface is changing so rapidly that Microsoft itself doesn't like putting screenshots in there because they have to spend too long updating their documentation. So, again, a lot of it's just pure text-based.
When are you going to get to that point?
Already at that point. I'm beyond that point, but I need to do it. So, again, it does take some time and a little bit frustrating to get things to work sometimes, but when you're in the groove, you seem to be able to knock out a lot of them, given that the content's pretty much the same, so I can follow the same sort of story, I suppose, and just update the interface. The real challenge comes when you have to update documentation, so documents and things like that. Videos aren't too bad, but documentation can take a while to go through and take all the appropriate screenshots, but we'll get there. That's part of the reason that I do that regularly, so that if you do subscribe to the CIAOpsAcademy.com, you'll always try and get the latest information with the latest look and feel. So that's what I'm doing.
Excellent. Well, I'm in Sydney this week. I think last time we spoke, where was I? The Gold Coast? In a crappy little motel.
Yes, so they allowed you to out of their little country, did they? They didn't confiscate your passport and give you a cavity search on the way out?
Country? You mean Gold Coast?
Yeah, well, Queensland's a completely different country from the rest of the world. We know that.
Well, yeah, sort of. It's a much of a muchness. It means you can get beer up there with four X's on it.
Oh, I see. Worldwide
It doesn't taste so bad either. But then I'm back up there next week in Brisbane for conducting more PowerShell training. So that'll be interesting. This time I got more people and more students.
Excellent.
I'm going from 7 to 17 students.
Oh dear, that could incorporate a riot. Is that does that include the janitor and the
The only thing I'm concerned about is if you get, like, obviously everyone's different. Everyone learns at different paces. Some people are fast. Some people already know a little bit about PowerShell. Some people don't. And there's only one of me to help people through. And if there's a whole bunch of slow people to help, I'm not going to have time to help them through in the time that they've got to do the labs and me to cover the modules. We're going to run out of time.
All I can say is thank God there's only one of you. I don't know if we could handle two. I suppose we could get them on for another guest, couldn't we?
Yeah, maybe. That'll be good. That'll be very handy. At least then I wouldn't have to, like, do this every single week.
Oh, it's become such a pain. What do you do in between times? Look after all the animals that we seem to end up on the podcast? Is that old Mick Keane does, E-I-E-I-O?
Yeah, or record myself saying...
You can tell when Mark is back in Sydney, he has his finger on the pulse of the
That's right, my no button. My no button does not go travelling with me.
Yeah, that's a bit sad, isn't it? So let's wish Mark all the best when he travels very shortly and we can record another podcast then. But let's keep it on track.
And you can do your good old moo.
We can keep it on track here and let's talk about some news. Do you want to kick it off?
You know what? There was, let's just say, a massive announcement happened last week. It involved Azure. So here we go. Two new Azure regions announced for Australia, Canberra data centers. I don't even know why I'm saying this. I bet all our listeners already know about this anyway. It's all old news. But anyway, here we go. In fact, I've got a bit of a spin on it. So check this out. 42 regions now announced worldwide. And thanks to a partnership with Canberra data centers, we have two new regions. The Canberra data centers currently support more than 40 federal government departments and agencies, the ACT government, and they are now supporting a number of managed service providers and smaller cloud service providers delivering to government. So Canberra Data Centre's first 6-megawatt data centre was designed to serve the needs of the federal government. It opened in Hume in 2008, and both of the Canberra data centres in ACT are connected by a 2 terabits per second, okay, not petabytes, not megabits, but 2 terabits per second intra-government communications network, or ICON for short, which ensures high speed, low latency, and cost-effective secure cloud connections. Can you imagine 2 terabits per second connection?
They're obviously not on the NBN, are they, down there?
No, definitely not. You wouldn't even have to think twice about what you put across the network. Just anything just would go across.
It's amazing what our tax dollars will pay for when there's a need for it, isn't there?
Oh, my God. Yes. So 3 years ago, Microsoft opened our first Australian Azure Cloud regions in Australia and Sydney. However, the benefits of Canberra will go far beyond the boundaries of Canberra, with federal, state and local government, as well as commercial organisations, standing to benefit from these new Azure regions. Now, this is the spin which you might not know. Now, currently at the moment, I'm doing some work for a certain government organisation in Sydney. So I've been talking to the guys there in relation to this news article and found out some information in relation to the fact that there is also a network which intertwines the sensitive government agencies called GovLink. This is online, so it is public knowledge. It's all good. I'm not going to get in trouble for it. It means
I think the tracking van's just pulled up outside your house there. Can I hear that in the background?
Yeah, nice try. It is online. So basically, GovLink means that when an email is sent out of a government agency like the Defence Department, for example, to another agency like, say, Medibank or whichever, then based on the to address of the email, the firewall at each agency intercepts the network packets as they go out. And if the email is for another government agency, it's flicked and routed not over the internet, but directly over a separate private link called GovLink straight to the other government agency. That's pretty cool. It means that external email is secure, essentially, to other agencies. It also means that with the introduction of these two new Azure data centers in Canberra, the government ones, with Office 365, which is going to be in those same data centers, every government department will with a connection to Exchange Server, with a connection to a Exchange Server over a secure HTTPS connection, as we know, like Outlook or, you know, like a phone, if they email to another Exchange Online government tenant in the same data center, obviously the email, because the way Exchange works, will not leave the data center. So essentially will be the same as GovLink, the current network, and make that redundant, essentially. So yay, thanks to Microsoft. Okay, so there's two new regions in Canberra, be available in the first half of 2018 through a strategic partnership with Canberra Data Centres, and the intent is to be the first and only hyperscale cloud provider to serve the needs of the government for data classified at both unclassified levels as well as a higher classification called protected. So the first tier of national security classified data. So there we go. That's big, big, big news. Huge.
Yes. Yeah, it certainly is. And again, it's an interesting, I suppose, that Australia is one of the new places, I suppose, or the one of the few countries now that has its own government-style data centers. We've obviously got them in the US, and I believe something similar in Germany, maybe China. So again, it shows you that we are pretty high on the world stage, and we certainly do get a lot of love here from Microsoft locally, which I think that we all should appreciate. And the person that we can appreciate that to is Mark, who'll pass it on to the right people, I'm sure.
Of course. Yeah, I'll just pass it on to the other Mark, which of course is Mark Rasinovich.
Yes, your buddy, along with Mr. Jeffrey Snover as well. So let me talk a bit about Office 365. One of the challenges that we have in the Office 365 world is the way that Microsoft now provisions resources through things like Office 365 groups, which gives us not only a SharePoint site, it gives us an email group, it gives us a planner, it gives us a whole range of resources. Now, over time, users have created these resources and they may no longer be used. So Microsoft has announced the preview of a group expiry option. So what you can do is you can go in there, turn that on, and basically say after 30 days, send the owners of the resources a email to confirm whether they want this. If there's no reply or if there's no activity on this, then it will delete the group and all the resources. So a good way to make sure things are tidied up. And as always, we'll put a link to this in the show notes so you can go and have a look for yourself. So the ability to expire groups automatically is now in public preview, which is hopefully going to allow us to keep the information a bit more tidy in Office 365 tenants who go out and create a lot of
groups. That's excellent news, yes.
Now, Mark, can you tell us a bit about this new Azure Log Analytics? I've got some questions. What can you tell me about this new Log Analytics service from
Azure? The first thing I can tell you about it is, yes, it sort of incorporates Log Analytics, but that's only the 5% of it, because it's huge. It's big news, and it's not called new Log Analytics. It's basically called Azure Event Grid. Now, there's two parts to my story here. There's the first part where I went to, say, the Microsoft announcements website and tried to gather as much information as I could for this brand new, let me just say it right now, groundbreaking service, which is going to be like industry leading and industry changing. But the way that it was described on the announcements website was, I couldn't even work out what it was. So what? Where's the point? So then I went to the other, my favorite search engine, and went to other articles, which essentially talked about the same news article, which came out a couple of days ago. And essentially they explained it sort of the same way as Microsoft did. And you know what? I bet they didn't really understand it either. And I still didn't really understand it either. So I'm going to read this, what I've got here. Now, I'll get halfway. And Rob, I'm going to ask you the question, because I'm guessing you don't really understand what it is if you've read the normal sort of literature that I've read online. And I'll stop halfway and I'll ask you the question. Do you understand it so far? And then I'll change it up a bit, because I watched the video, the good old Channel 9 video on the scenario or the demo for this. And now I have a fantastic idea of what it is all about. So here we go. Here's how it starts. So, introducing Azure Event Grid. Most modern applications are built using events. reacting to changes coming from IoT devices, responding to user clicks on mobile apps, initiating business processes from customer requests. With the growth of event-based programming, there is an increased focus on serverless platforms like Azure Functions, a serverless compute engine, and Azure Logic Apps, a serverless workflow orchestration engine. These services enable you to focus on your application without worrying about any infrastructure, provisioning, or scaling. We are making event-based and serverless applications even easier to build on Azure. Azure Event Grid is a fully managed event routing service and the first of its kind. Azure Event Grid greatly simplifies the development of event-based applications and simplifies the creation of serverless workflows. Using a single service, Azure Event Grid manages all routing of events from any source to any destination for any application. So, Rob, do you understand from what I just read out exactly what it is yet?
Yes.
Now tell me, is it because of what I've explained to you, or is it because of what you've read yourself about the news article?
Both.
Right. Okay. Would you agree from what I just read then, it doesn't really sort of talk about the main selling point of it?
I think it depends where you come from.
I've missed the point. So, all right. So this next part here is a bit that I took out of the video and I've explained it in my own words. So let me continue. Azure Event Grid is all about event-based reactive programming throughout all of Azure natively. Currently, you need a lot of polling with Azure, right? For example, checking every X amount of minutes. Now with Event Hubs, if you need to react to something, Azure simply just lets you know, taps you on your shoulder, which you can then incorporate the event into something like Azure Functions or Logic Apps. At the Event Grid go live time, whenever they went live with it, the support will be for blob storage, resource groups, subscriptions, event hubs, and custom topics. Am I sort of getting closer, Rob?
Mm.
I've got an example here.
Mm-hmm. Keep going.
As an example, anything that happens within a resource group, like a new resource that's been created or popped up in the resource group, you can now do stuff to, like, for example, because you get it notified proactively, and you can now react automatically to some stuff like tag the resource, for example. Also, you can have, say, an event grid as a trigger for a Logic App, in which the event grid listens for changes to a subscription. So it's all intertwined with Azure itself and all the resources in Azure. So rather than before, we had poll Azure for changes, for checks, like somebody logs in, poll, oh, somebody logged in, and all of a sudden, as soon as you notice that somebody logged in because of numerous polling, then you did something like ran a function or a Logic App or something in Azure Automation. Well, now it's the complete reverse. So you don't have to worry about polling, endless polling for Azure. Azure does something and you tell it to, as soon as it does something, it's like a scheduled task. Think of it as, you know, when you create a scheduled task and you can set a scheduled task based on a time or a trigger, like a time or a date as such, and you can also set an event log based scheduled task. So when something pops into the event log of Windows, it fires off a scheduled task. It's essentially exactly what it is. So something happens in Azure on any resource or resource group, and that triggers an event, right, through the event grid, and then you can make use of either functions, Logic Apps, or Azure Automation, or webhooks to do what you need to do. That's it.
Okay, so it's an event. It's basically an alert manager.
But it's proactive, or actually, I wouldn't say proactive, it's reactive. But it means that you don't have to do the whole check. It just lets you know. It just sends a pulse, like a trigger.
Yep. All right. Yep.
Like,
that's cool.
If somebody was added to an administrator was added to a subscription, for example, like a new admin, like a new co-admin, you can have it set up to notify you as such when
So it's like an event log on a Windows server.
It's like an event log in, say, Azure. Yeah, and on a Windows server, exactly. And then you just, as soon as something happens, look out for it, it lets you know, and then you can act on it whether you run a function. It's pretty powerful stuff, if you think about it, because you can think of anything in Azure, right? Do something, and you can automate a whole bunch of stuff with PowerShell. So Azure Automation just fires up a runbook. Bang. Done.
Well, I think the real power of it is, obviously, is that it can extend across the whole service. I think that's where the real power of it is. We've had sort of things on, like I said, servers and standalone services, but like the Azure Security Center, like the Azure Advisor, the ability to look across the complete Azure stack and then let you know when there are things you need that need attention or things that are security require attention or whatever. I think that's the real power of it. When you look at the amount of resources that you can call on inside Azure, and now you don't, like you said, have to go checking them all constantly. You can basically sit back, wait for something to prompt you and say, look, you know, you need to pay attention to this. So again, I don't think the concept is anything new, but the breadth of it is where you really get this idea of how powerful it can be when you consider how many people are using Azure, how many services are inside it, what they're actually doing. And I think part of this is also driven by Microsoft wanting to reduce the amount of compute resources that it's consuming, constantly polling these resources. So it makes a lot of sense, but the breadth of it, yes, is staggering.
And not only that, it also rings true to what Scott Guthrie said like a few months ago. He doesn't want to compete based on price. He wants to compete based on value. This is going to create as much value as possible. But I can also, just what he was talking about there, I can also think another use case for this is when I got my virtual machine shut down, say at night, and at 7 o'clock in the morning they power up, rather than me setting up an alert or some sort of poll to check if they're up or not at 7 o'clock in the morning, I could just say, here you go, create an event grid trigger which hooks into Logic Apps, and as soon as I notice that the servers haven't come up after 7 o'clock, for example, well then it just triggers like an email or anything that Logic Apps could send through, sort of thing, like a SMS maybe, and I can be notified of it. It's pretty cool.
Good. All right. Well, let me move on with some Office 365 stuff. An app that I found recently that allows you to integrate with Microsoft Teams. So we've had the ability to embed bots or include bots in Microsoft Teams. So there are ones that will give you a picture from space. There are ones that will work out travel times. There are ones that will run polls and questionnaires. But this one here, and it's at getbizzy.io, what it allows you to do is it allows you to create your own bot functions via Flow. So what you do is basically create the automation process you want in Flow, and then you link it into your Microsoft team using this getbizzy.io service. So this could be quite powerful when you sit down and think about it, allowing people to automate processes and then embed them into Teams so that they can run effectively anything you can do in a Microsoft Flow. So we have buttons in Flow that we can automate from an app on our mobile device, but this would be very powerful to be able to achieve the same thing all in Teams. And again, a very interesting move to show that Teams is really becoming this sort of almost a central hub when it comes to Office 365 services. So we're embedding all these services behind the covers of a simplified interface called Microsoft Teams. We get the benefit of SharePoint Online, Skype, but we get a nice simplified interface and a mobile app to boot that allows us and our customers to get access to that information quickly and easily. So one worth checking out, and we'll put the link in the show notes so you can have a look at it as well. Currently in preview, they're going to be presenting more information at the upcoming Ignite event in Orlando. So again, keep an eye on that. Anything else on Azure, Mark?
Yes. Microsoft have got money.
And is that, are they at all giving you any money, or do you just do it for the love?
Well, it's not me. It's basically doing what Microsoft does best, and they gobble people up.
You do want to keep your job, don't you?
You need a sound effect of a turkey.
I think we've already got one on the other end of the line here, so keep going.
How about you find a sound effect of a turkey, like a gobbling turkey, while I read this. So Azure has acquired or gobbled up another company called Cycle Computing. we've acquired Cycle Computing, a leader in cloud computing orchestration, to help make it easier more than ever for customers to use high-performance computing, HPC for short, and other big computing capabilities in the cloud. The cloud is quickly changing the world of big compute, giving customers the on-demand power and infrastructure necessary to run massive workloads at scale without the overhead. Compute power is no longer measured or limited by the square footage of a data center. So Azure has a massive global footprint and more than any other major cloud provider. It also has powerful infrastructure and fast networking with InfiniBand support and state-of-the-art GPU capabilities. Combining this with Cycle Computer's technology and years of experience with the world's largest supercomputers, there'll be so many new possibilities. Cycle Computers will help customers accelerate their movement to the cloud, which we all love. Where's the sound effect?
What do you mean? What sound effect?
Okay.
Did I have to do something, did I?
What's the... Yeah.
That's Amazon. That's the sound effect of Amazon in the background.
No!
All right, so some more Office 365 style stuff. There's been some updates to the OneDrive iOS mobile app, some nice enhancements and features. We're seeing things like Office Lens being rolled into that, the ability to automatically OCR all your photos. So if you take a picture of a whiteboard or a document or a business card, that can be OCR'd for you automatically on the fly. Hopefully we'll see this roll into the SharePoint side of it as well. Lots and lots of the apps are being updated on a regular basis. We would expect this probably to continue as we get closer to Ignite. We're expecting a huge amount of information to come from the upcoming Microsoft Ignite. And speaking about conferences, Microsoft Australia today announced the registrations are open for their summit in November. Are you presenting there, Mark?
Don't know yet. We don't know until October, if Microsoft asks. But generally what's going to happen is what we've been told, a lot of the presenters are coming from overseas. They're going to be the engineering team from Microsoft. So,
but you're coming from overseas. You'll be coming from the Gold Coast. Surely that's overseas.
Well, it depends. I mean, if you'd like to think Troy Hunt on the Gold Coast has got his own country as such, he's big enough to have his own country. Yeah, maybe.
Well, anybody who takes a jet ski to work obviously must live in another country.
Yeah, or Dreamland or Dreamworld. Get it? Dreamworld, Gold Coast? Yes.
Okay, tell me about just-in-time network access for VMs.
Well, it means that you only have to give access to the VMs to administrators for a certain amount of time, and then that's it. It gets taken away automatically.
Yes, but it's a new service from Azure, isn't it? So why don't you tell the ladies and gentlemen a little bit more about it, since you're the one who's been reading up on it.
Well, it means that rather than manually giving people access to a VM or a resource, you can set it for just in time. So you can set it for a certain period of time. So if you've got a change happening at, say, 8 o'clock at night, or another change happening at, say, I don't know, at 6 o'clock in the morning,
no,
it means you can schedule access.
No. Something far more important than that. All right, let's go back to basics. When you run up an Azure virtual machine, what is open to the whole world as long as the virtual machine is running?
Well, depends where you're going with this, but it's not 3389.
Yeah, 3389 effectively is open to that virtual machine.
Not necessarily, because you can turn it off and
yes, but what did I just say? I said by default, when you run up a virtual machine, what is open to the whole world, it's typically 3389. So
with Azure Resource Manager, but not Azure Classic.
So,
go on.
So with port 3389 open by default, what we find is there's a lot of people don't appreciate that they can and should go in and obviously limit this. So this new ability in Azure is going to allow you to, for example, say, okay, I want to be able to access the RDP port for, say, 3 hours from the first login. Now, after that, the port will then close down, which means it reduces the footprint and improves the security. So, again, something to look out for. We'll put the, notes in the blog post I put out, but a very handy and good idea when it comes to security.
It's like automated NSG rules.
Correct, and I think essentially there's probably a lot more to that, but you're sort of admitting that you haven't read about it. Is that correct?
Well, I was just going to say, you could do something else. You could set up a trigger in, say, Azure Event Grid that when you detect a connection from, say, overseas somewhere outside of Australia, then you automatically fire off a runbook, an Azure Automation runbook, or a function to automatically close off that port.
Yes, I would suggest that it's far easier to select this option for just-in-time access to go through programming you just taught. No, I realise it's not as cool, but we need to get a job done sometimes rather than just being cool, so it's important to have that as well. What else we got? Anything on Azure? Anything else?
It's probably how they're doing it, I reckon. Anyway, no, that's basically it.
What about large disk sizes now generally available for premium and storage disks?
What is it? Up to 8 terabytes?
4 terabytes?
Well, that's old news. But I heard it was
That was currently only available for premium. Now I believe it's for premium and standard.
Right, okay, that one. Yep, gotcha.
Okay, so again, more indication that Azure is rolling out and expanding and improving the service on a very, very rapid clip. Now, given that Inspire is coming along very shortly, Mark, do you have any, I suppose, let's say, ideas of what we might see at Inspire, or what would you like to see announcement-wise from Inspire? I know I have a couple. What about you?
Inspire is the APC, right?
No. Inspire is the... Oh, hang on. What is it? Yeah, it's the technical one in September, isn't it? No, Ignite. Beg your pardon. It's Ignite. Yeah,
it's a replacement for APC.
No, Ignite. So the US one in Orlando, the Microsoft Ignite, the big IT pro conference.
Yeah.
What announcements do you want to see come from that?
Okay. Here's one for you.
Yep.
Console access to Azure Virtual Machines.
That'd be pretty cool.
Oh, it'll be lovely.
What about, directory services in Resource Manager? Would that be good?
Oh, you mean so you can do your real group policies from Azure Resource Manager?
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool.
Not just access from the port of the old version of it.
Correct. Exactly. Yeah, full access in Resource Manager would be very nice.
That'll be pretty cool.
Also, PowerShell as well.
Or what about
really good?
Or what about an authoring page through the portal to create custom policy definitions for Azure policy?
Yep, that'd be good. Any ideas of what we might see? Have you heard anything on the grapevine?
I've heard lots of things, but I can't say anything.
Right, so we're in one of those moods. So you really don't need to say anything anymore.
Well, it means I won't have enough money to put food on the table because I'll lose my job.
Okay, rightio. We'll keep that in mind next time we catch you out. So some of the things from Ignite that I would like to see is, obviously the main thing is I'd like to see external access for Microsoft Teams. Please bring that out when it comes to Ignite, because we would really like to see the ability to have external people outside your Office 365 organization be able to access resources in Teams. Really handy, would really like to see that. Hopefully, and again, I've now got my OneDrive on demand working on my Redstone 3 Windows 10 demo machine here, so the Fall Creators update can't be far away as well, so that will bring us something that I think Marky will really enjoy too, the ability to have his OneDrive files on demand. That'll make you a happy chappy, won't it?
Maybe.
Sound a bit distracted there. I see. The cat's come in amongst the pigeons there, has it, Mark? The animals have escaped from the pen, have they?
No, I've just had a bit of an issue here in the office. Something fell down.
Right. Mark's been drinking again, ladies and gentlemen, and has managed to get himself off the floor to continue on with the podcast. Anything else we need to cover in this episode, or do we cut it short for a while and get on with our day, do you reckon?
Well, I was just going to say, next week's going to be a pretty big week.
Why is that?
Well, because you've got your editing to do of all your documentation. How long is it going to take you?
Oh, probably another 3 years.
Well, there you go. Do you have any more travel lined up?
I think I'll go down to Office 365 Saturday in September and do another presentation down there for the good folks down south of the border on Office 365 automation, along with some of my buddies that in the Office 365 space, talking about all the goodness that's down there. Free community event, again, for people there. Best idea is to do a lookup in meetup.com for Office 365 Saturday Australia, and you'll see all the details there, or contact me and we will put a link in the show notes. So that's the only major one that I can see on the horizon. What about yourself, Mark? Are you going to the Gold Coast?
Well, hang on. I gave you the microphone, didn't I? The brand new mic.
Did you? I can't remember. Have you got it?
Yes. Come on. Thanks to our sponsor. Go and get the mic. Explain to everybody what type of microphone it is and how heavy it is and what model number it is.
It's a microphone and it's heavy and it's from Rode. That's as much as I know.
Okay. So I've got a K2 model. And what have you got?
Probably the same.
Well, no. Come on. Go and get it.
No, I can't get it. I'm busy.
Don't be lazy.
I'm busy. I have both hands and my mouth occupied at this point in time.
All right. Well, it's basically a tube or valve microphone. Like, it's a serious bit of kit. And currently at the moment, you're talking on the, what, NT USB?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, hopefully by this stage next week, in between updating your documentation, you'll be out buying some stuff to help hook your microphone up to your computer, right?
I'm not going to buy anything, that's for sure.
Well, otherwise you can't use the mic. And it'll be essentially a waste. So you're going to have to get what I said, like something enough. It won't cost much. You'll be right. Just close your eyes and pay for it. You'll be fine.
This is the life of my podcast, ladies and gentlemen and listeners. It's all become about me paying in one way, shape, or form.
Hey, the mic would be costing three times or four times as much.
I'm not talking about the hardware. I'm talking about the psychological damage that I'm enduring.
You've already sort of agreed to buy it anyway. So anyway, we'll move on. So this time next week, you'll be on this brand new spanking microphone. And unfortunately, I won't be because I'll be up in Brisbane. I'll have my NT USB with me, which will be remote. But still, it'll be pretty much the same. But Rob, however, will be sounding... He wouldn't be sounding better. A serious broadcast quality mic. And so, as I said before, I've got the K2 mic. And thanks to Rode Microphones, they sent us two of these. And Rob, how about you describe when I meet you at the train station and I pass this microphone to you, like, how big was this mic? How big was the packaging? Like, just describe to the listeners how heavy it was, what it looked like. Was it just a normal mic, or what was it?
It was something so large that I needed to back up a semi-trailer to be able to fit it on.
He's not joking. It was a massive, big, black, hard plastic case with a huge mic in, with a massive big cable, plus a huge bloody power supply for it, a separate power supply. And so this is what was in the kit. Like, it's not a cheap, everyday average microphone. It's a serious bit of kit. And when you were carrying it, Rob, it looked like you were carrying a gun in one of those packages. If it didn't have the Rode logo on the side of the case, that's what it would look like.
Yes, I managed to dodge the national security people and take it into the Canberra data centre. So you'd have a bit of trouble doing a podcast from inside one of the data centres. I would suggest using the case, but a good way to protect it from the rigours of travelling on public transport. So we again thank Rode for their sponsorship and also for giving Mark new toys that he can play with and talk about on the podcast. We should also thank Zencastr as well, that allow us to do the recordings. Great little piece of software there. And anything else we need to thank people for, Mark?
Of course. So hang on. So you mentioned this event that's happening that you're going to. When was that again? What was the date?
16th of September.
Right. So August, September. Okay, so that's next month. So it's about 3 or 4 weeks away. You'll be heading, where is it again? What state or what city?
So you weren't listening to what I was saying, were you, before?
No, I wasn't.
You're off with the fairies.
I was daydreaming.
You're off with the road fairies, weren't you? As soon as you mentioned microphones and audio and road, he's just lost for all intensive purposes.
Well, I'm getting to a point. So where's the event happening again?
So you're getting old, is that what you're saying?
Basically.
Right, good. Well, if you're old, there's no use me telling you, you'll forget. Your Alzheimer's will kick in and you'll forget again. Lucky we are recording it so you can listen back to the podcast and find out that it is in Melbourne.
Right, that's what I thought. Okay, Melbourne. So, here's the thing. When I met with you last week for breakfast, not only did I give you this serious bit of kit from Rode, but I also gave you another mic from Rode, didn't I?
My memory is fading, but yes, I believe so.
Right, so what was the other mic kit that I gave you?
It was a microphone with a big black thing on the end.
Come on, Rob, you're not doing our sponsor any good here.
You have to write it down for me.
All right, well, I'll tell you what it is. It's a Rode new shooter kit. Now, people might have seen us use it before at previous functions, but what it is essentially is a wireless transmitter / receiver kit, and you plug on top of it like an XLR mic, right? And then the other end you plug into your phone for recording. So it's like, instead of having a mic that plugs into your phone with a cable, you can leave your phone or leave your computer somewhere in the corner and you can walk around and record people, and it connects, the mic connects to the, like the mic has a transmitter end, and the where it records, it's like called the receiver end, and so it transmits from the transmitter to the receiver, and it's like a wireless mic essentially. So you've got that now. It's a Rode wireless mic. It's called the new shooter kit. You might have seen them on Channel 7 when they're holding the mic up. It's a wireless mic. And you've also got the Rode S1 mic that goes with it. That's a pretty cool mic too. It's like a studio mic, apparently, because S1 stands for studio. So when you go to this event in September down in Melbourne, you'll be able to take this with you and you can interview people for the podcast and you'll sound like $1 million.
Excellent. So I only sound like $900,000 at the moment, do I?
No, $2. No.
Excellent.
I'm kidding. Well, you got a Rode, you're sounding decent amount of money, but I'm just saying
now that you've cashed yourself out, it's probably time that we look at rounding this puppy up. So,
well, hang on, we've got another 3 minutes to go.
No, your 3 minutes is up, my friend.
Because normally our podcasts go for 45 minutes, and if we end now, it's only 42, and our sponsors... So hang on, we forgot something, Rob.
Your therapy session is just about up. I think your time is due.
So remember, our other sponsor, Ingram Micro.
Well, like I said, we haven't officially got to that point yet, but they are coming along. We've got to confirm all that, and we've got to get all the stuff, and you've got to remix it and do a new beginning and a new ending. That'll keep you busy on top of everything else. So I don't know if you want to bring that up just yet, but...
What's that for? Ingram Micro?
Yeah.
You mean Ingram Micro?
Oh, dear. Psychological tricks at this time of a podcast. Deary me. No, let's... So you've got no more news. You've got no more technical things left. No, we're just doing funny jokes, are we?
No, we're like looking after our sponsors who look after us. They pat Excellent. Our back and we pat their back.
Excellent. Well, I think we've patted everybody's back. We pat the backs of the audience, obviously, for listening along and putting up with our intermediate episode.
And how do people get in contact with you, Rob?
It's probably a good idea to use the Twitter at DirectorCIA. Facebook also works really well, director@CIAOps.com or N2K Podcast on Facebook and also on the Twitter. Now, Mark only lives in half a universe, so you can only... access him via the Twitter at Mark with a C Keen. And how else can they get information or pass us comments and feedback on our little podcast here, Mark? What's the best way?
The best way is whichever way they feel comfortable with. So we've got Twitter, Facebook, email.
What's the email?
feedback@needtoknow.cloud.
And how do they get all the show notes?
They go to the podcast and they check the notes underneath.
What's What's the URL for the podcast?
Podcasts.needtoknow.cloud.
Excellent. All right, Mark's passed his certification test for the next podcast that will run shortly. Anything else from you from this episode?
No, only the fact that we've got roughly 50 seconds left, but if we round it out now, the ending of the podcast will take us right up to exactly 45 minutes. It'll be spot on.
Excellent. Let's put a few cattle noises in there. What about your no-box? Come on, let's hear
no-box.
Excellent. All right, so we've had it all in this episode. Sponsors, cattle.
Road, Ingram.
No, Road, Ingram, and of course, overriding the whole thing has been Mr. Mark Keane. You've been listening to another episode of the Need to Know podcast.
You have been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For training on using technologies like SharePoint Online or Office 365, visit www.ciaopsacademy.com. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact. This podcast is voiced and produced by me, Mark Keane.